Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is the Robin Lindbergh Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Going to get back to your calls in just a second at 855-212-4227. But first, going to be joined right now by Barrett Salee, CBS Sports college football writer, Sirius XM host. And Barrett, first question, the most important one, Clemson or Alabama?
Neither. I've got Georgia winning the national championship. Both of those teams in the playoff, but Georgia running through Clemson in the semifinal and Alabama in the national championship to win the title.
That's interesting because, you know, everywhere it seems it's Clemson, Alabama, Alabama, Clemson in some order. I think they're split on sports books. What is it about Georgia that you think puts them in the same class and even above?
Well, I think they're in the same class in terms of overall team talent. In fact, Bud Elliott, who does work for the Banner Society, formerly of SB Nation, puts together blue chip rankings every single offseason. And basically what that is he puts together the overall team talent based on recruiting and development and tells you which teams have the best chance to win the national championship. From a talent perspective, Georgia, Clemson, and Alabama are right bunched together, and the gap between three and four is the size of a Grand Canyon. So from a talent perspective, they're right there. I think when you look at quarterbacks, Jake Fromm can be a difference maker, doesn't have to be all the time, which I think is a credit to that entire Georgia staff. I think they've got the best running back core in the SEC and perhaps one of the best running back cores in the country. They have the best offensive line in the country, a veteran secondary, and a front seven that, while they didn't get pressure on quarterbacks last year, still held teams outside of the red zone, and once they got in the red zone, you know, stood tall there too. So in terms of being a complete team, I think the one sort of missing piece is that wide receiving core, but that's the easiest part. That's the easiest place to toss in a true freshman or a redshirt freshman or an experienced kid. And B, I think from a talent perspective, they are completely set there. So I actually think, especially because of Dylan Moses' injury to Alabama, that Georgia is the most complete team in the SEC. And I would argue as complete as Clemson, based on the fact that Clemson has to figure out what has to happen along that defensive line, get some players in the rotation.
That's a look at the national championship picture. I want to talk about a couple other stories that I think are interesting heading into the season. One is Michigan. Jim Harbaugh and that team, you know, they've had some ups and downs, I guess, if you will, and haven't quite had that breakthrough. Do you see this being the year? And do you see him catching you know, heat to the point of job security status being at risk, if not?
No, it's not the year because Jim Harbaugh has proven time and time again that he is too stubborn to produce an offense that is willing that can win outside of its comfort zone. He's Les Miles for the final 4 years of Les Miles' career at LSU. Too stubborn for his own good, gets his hands on that offense, and doesn't understand that in college football, you have to win outside of your comfort zone. Even if you have a great defense, which Michigan has had the last couple of seasons, you're not going to win with defense alone. And when you get into shootouts, you better have the firepower to go win those shootouts. And he doesn't even try to do that, which I think for Michigan fans should be extremely frustrating. If his name wasn't Jim Harbaugh and if he wasn't a Michigan legend, they would be furious, and rightfully so, with how he's operated as a head coach for the first 4 years of his tenure. I don't believe Shea Patterson is a difference maker. And Josh Gattis, the new offensive coordinator, yeah, he sells this whole speed and space offense. A, he's never called plays. And B, is Jim Harbaugh going to get his hands on that offense again? Everything suggests that Jim Harbaugh will do that. And there's nothing to suggest yet that Josh Gattis is an effective play caller, even if Jim Harbaugh stays away from him. So, this Michigan is, to me, is a nice little 10-win team that will, you know, have some moments where they give you hope, but in the end, just aren't. They're not flexible enough, and they're not diverse enough offensively to hang with Ohio State. And I would say this: you know, Penn State might give them a run for their money to finish second in the Big Ten East. Michigan, to me, is the most overrated team in the country every single offseason, and this year is no different.
I think that would be a disappointing season for sure. Robin Lundberg talking to Barrett Salee, CBS Sports college football writer, Sirius XM host here on CBS Sports Radio. How about Jalen Hurts? That's very interesting because, you know, of what's happened with the quarterbacks there and under Lincoln Riley. Well, what kind of season are you expecting from him?
Well, I mean, he's obviously in the Heisman odds. I don't think he's going to have a Heisman-type season because he's not going to put up Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield numbers. And perhaps unfairly to Jalen Hurts, that's kind of the standard he's going to be held to. That said, I think he'll be fine. I think the one thing that I'm not concerned, more just curious about, is how does Lincoln Riley adjust his system to Jalen Hurts? Because Jalen is not like Baker or Kyler. He's more of a downhill. He can run between the tackles. He's a big dude. I mean, I've known Jalen for a while, you know, covering primarily SEC football. You stand next to him, he looks like he's created out of a video game. You know, he is not a slight dude. So I want to see how Lincoln Riley adjusts his offense to Jalen because, you know, all the NFL folks and all these, you know, casual fans sort of think Lincoln Riley is just this evil genius. And I think he's a genius too, but he really has never had to adjust his system as a head coach to a different quarterback. So I'm fascinated to see what he does. That said, I think really in sort of a backwards way, you know, Jalen's overall success depends on his defense. Alex Grinch is there as the new defensive coordinator. Obviously, Oklahoma was next level embarrassing bad last year. If that continues, then I would think that Jalen's not going to have a successful season in terms of leading his team to overall team success and potentially the college football playoff, because he would then sort of be forced to do things that he's not comfortable with or hasn't succeeded with in the past, and that's throwing the ball downfield. So I'm fascinated to see what Lincoln does with him. I think Oklahoma's going to be in the Big 12 title mix. But to me, I think the Big 12, just in general, is far more likely to cannibalize itself than it has been in years past.
Finally, is Oregon and Auburn, that's the game of the day. And do you think, do you agree with the sentiment that Justin Herbert is the prospective number one pick in the NFL draft?
Well, I'm not the biggest NFL draft guy. He's a great quarterback. And I think the question sort of remains, what can he do in big games? They kind of faltered down the stretch last year. You can't argue the arm strength and accuracy at times. I think from a leadership standpoint, you know, that's kind of one thing he has to work on this year. I think if he has a good game against Auburn, then that'll go a long way towards impressing NFL scouts. And a long way towards, you know, Oregon potentially contending for the college football playoff, because this is his toughest test of the year for a couple of reasons. One, Auburn's defensive front is just filthy. If you don't know the name Nick Coe, get to know him, because he's going to be Derek Brown's sidekick. And Nick Coe is one of the most versatile, most great defensive players in the entire country. He is going to line up all over the field to help Derek Brown out. So if Justin Herbert has success against that defense, especially considering he has some injury problems with his wide receivers right now, then NFL scouts are going to take notice of that. As far as, you know, what he can be moving forward, potentially a Heisman Trophy candidate. I think as far as what the NFL scouts are looking for, I think if he shows off his legs just a little bit, and I'm talking just a little bit because he can do it, then I think that'll go a long way towards perhaps solidifying himself as the number one pick, because he would then be viewed as a guy who, you know, just isn't a statue back there and a guy who can fling it downfield, a guy who you can be creative with the offense, especially in the day of the NFL where, you know, it's finally catching up to what college offense has been doing for a long time.
Barrett, appreciate the time this morning, man. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.